can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Just real quick, FGCU has been eliminated. They lost today. They lost yesterday to Stetson 7-5 in men's baseball, and they lost today to North Florida 10-5. So
yikes.
They have been eliminated from the ASUN tournament. Now they have to wait to see if they get an at-large bid, which is
slim.
So we're 34-19 going into the tournament, 16-7 in the ASUN regular season champs, but lost two games today. So they finished the season 34-21. And I think it's going to take a lot of. They're going to need a lot of help for them to get in as an at-large bid, I believe.
I wouldn't
count
on
it. That's
too bad. That is too bad.
Because they beat a lot of good teams during the regular season.
Yep, no doubt about it.
Yep.
All right, we do have the NBA tonight. We'll have it here on 99.3 ESPN, Raptors and Bucks. We'll talk more about that later. I want to talk some football here. Ndamukong Suh, it was announced 2.5. We're now on the third business day. Since the announcement that he was coming to the Buccaneers. He has not signed the deal yet. I speculated with Pete yesterday, well, why hasn't this been solidified yet? And now it's starting to make the rounds elsewhere. As you know, we're a day ahead of the pulse of America.
Yeah.
But now guys like Mike Florio and whatnot are saying, hey, no deal is done till it's done. It's now been a third day. Why isn't this done yet? Now, you've said...
Jenna Lane, who was on with us yesterday from ESPN, covers Buccaneers, said Sue is in France right now, which may be the reason for the holdup. Yeah, I guess so. Hope it wasn't the guy trying to climb the Eiffel Tower the other day.
No, well, you know, he couldn't do that. He'd pull it over. He's a big boy.
So.
Wow. All right. Well, I mean.
He is in France.
I'm slightly concerned. If that's the end game that the Buccaneers want to sign him and he hasn't signed yet, is his agent wheeling and dealing or is he going to the beat of his own drum like he normally does?
Bingo. And.
All right.
And look, I don't know if he had a family vacation planned at this time and didn't want to get out. I mean, I suppose I understand that a little bit. And look, it's behind the scenes. So maybe he and his agent and the Buccaneers just say, don't worry about it. When you get back in a couple of days, we'll get it done. It could be as simple as that.
Or not.
We never know with this guy.
He could be a Patriot by Friday. I mean, he could.
Joe McCoy might be.
Yeah, he might. He might. The list, again, continues to grow for Gerald McCoy.
Yeah.
Patriots. Browns have always been interested. Mm-hmm. Colts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So I know there's about three more, I think. Bengals, I believe, are interested.
Browns.
Don't go to the Bengals,
not
Gerald.
Not going to the Bengals. No way.
I mean, they would have to have like double the offer of anybody else to go there if it's about money. But we were told it's about winning now. He's got a shot to go. He's never even been in a playoff game, Gerald McCoy. I think he would want to win somewhere. That's just me.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, your boy Adam Gase, New York Jets, holding a press conference.
My boy?
Well,
he's our boy.
It was kind of was Chris's boy. Chris isn't here to defend. So he talked about how people were asking him, so did you want to trade Le'Veon Bell? I do think that one is the media getting a little ahead of itself the way the media does. Look, we all know that the report came out that Adam Gase was not happy with the amount of money they spent on Le'Veon Bell at the running back position. So the media naturally assumes, oh, you must want to trade him. Mm. Well, he's like, that's the first I've heard of that.
Really? And he's already been caught in one lie earlier because he said there's no
McCagney. I have more lies, but this one, I'm cutting
him
a break.
Sweet little lies.
I'm cutting him a break on this one. I do think the media wagging the dog on that one. He did say that he had nothing to do with firing general manager Mike
McCagnan.
Yeah. Do you believe that one?
No.
No.
Because he obviously did. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean.
And he says Chris Johnson will be the one hiring the new GM. Do you believe that? Or will it be Adam Gase?
He's never saying it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man.
They don't currently have a GM.
Now, this is the downtown. Well, I don't know who's signing the contracts of the rookies. I guess all the rookies are signed because they've been going to OTAs.
Don't be stunned if Adam Gase is given the GM role also.
I will not be stunned. I kind of think that's the way they're going.
I mean, they're looking at Peter Schrager, the TV guy, right. Analyst. I mean, going the Mike Mayock route.
If they go the Mike Mayock route, I mean, who's really the GM in Oakland?
Oh, Gruden.
Same thing will happen then. Yeah. If they hire a little TV guy or a lesser-known guy, a weak-minded GM, that means Adam Gase is calling all the shots. That's what that's
all
about.
The new GM will have the final say on the roster, as Maccagni did. Gase, who controlled the roster in Miami, said he's fine with the Jets' power structure. He said a group of us will present their ideas on the search to Johnson, and then we'll begin interviewing candidates. Gay said there's a mold of what some teams are looking for in a GM. He's looking for something a little bit different. What in God's name does that mean?
How about
somebody that's competent?
I have some Adam Gase audio the Le'Veon Bell, if you want to hear it. Ooh, and then there's also on the thing.
Hold on.
Rick Church working hard on the other side of the glass. Here we go.
There were multiple reports there about one of the reasons why one of the many things that you and Mike didn't see eye to eye on was Le'Veon Bell and the addition of Le'Veon Bell. Could you just comment on that?
We signed him. I'm excited we have him. I've been in constant communication with him. Discussions happen. And to me, it's when you're going through free agency, you're trying to put together, and we sign a lot of guys, you're trying to put together a big puzzle. And you're trying to figure out money, fit, locker room, all those things. There's just a lot of things that go into all that stuff. And discussions are had, and whether or not we disagreed on anything, if it was financially, that's a completely different story than the person or the player. No, I mean, the contract was what it was. I mean, you can overpay. Everybody can criticize contracts all you want, but he's here. I'm excited he's here. I think our players are excited he's here. I know our coaches are. I mean, you get a chance to coach a great player, a guy that's done things that nobody's ever done in the league. Like, we're excited for that opportunity. I'm excited to get him in the offense so I can start figuring out what else can we do with him. What hasn't he done? What could he be great at?
Overpaid.
That
he
slipped
let
out.
That slip. Oops, a faux pas.
That's
a slip of the
out.
Tongue.
And to me, it doesn't sound like a guy being passionate, trying to build up a player to the media. It sounds like a guy going, I really have to go to bat for this guy to make it sound good, or I'm going to have trouble in the locker room.
This is not my anti-Jet hatred. I'm really looking at this objectively, and I think that team's going to stink again. There's just something not right about it. It won't necessarily be Sam Darnold's fault. I don't know. Doesn't something seem a bit off?
Maybe it's called Adam Gase.
It doesn't seem like a good fit to me. It just doesn't.
I've never been a huge Adam Gase guy.
Half truths. It just seems like he's a little out of his league. And I'm telling you, man, they are gonna say you know you're in the water and you know you get a paper clip, you get a paper cut, a little drop of blood comes in, man. That you got a lot of media people that they are going to bust your butt every single week if they're going to smell blood in the water and they are going to attack.
Here's the comments on McKegnan.
Thank you. This is the GM that got fired. Whether Adam Gase.
Adam, where are you guys at right now in search for a GM?
We're going through the beginning stages of our process. We've been working to really kind of finalize what we're thinking as far as people. You know, we just want to make sure that we go through and with the job descriptions and things like that, just talking through everything, kind of responsibilities and making sure we're very detailed on how we do this. You know, it's one of those things, it's complicated sometimes when you really tear down the position and look through everything of what it is and what the responsibilities are.
What is it that you're looking for?
Well, really, it's going to be Christopher Johnson's decision. We're doing our part, kind of as a group of us working on this to present to him, really, you know, what that position's been. I think, you know, there's a mold of what some teams are looking for a GM. I think he's looking for something a little bit different, and we're just trying to do a good job putting everything on paper, and then talking through everything.
Adam, whether it's true or not, what do you make of the widespread belief that you stabbed Mike McCagney in the back after he got fired?
That was your blood in the water.
This is not true. Christopher made a decision.
You said you were surprised the other day. Is it fair to say that you did not support Mike prior to Christopher, you know, firing the general manager?
Support in what way?
Support him. I'm assuming you and Christopher Johnson spoke before Christopher made the decision.
He called me and told me.
No, prior to that, did you discuss?
Prior to that, it was more conversations about some of the things that we've done in the past. And, I mean, majority of the time, me and Mike were always on the same page.
Did you
have disagreements? There's always going to be disagreements in this profession as far as philosophy, what you want to do, you know, player personnel wise. But at the end of the day, you're the final decision. I mean, that was his right.
Yeah,
that was interesting.
And you heard that? You heard the sports information, the public relations director, immediately say, well, one more, last one. You can tell.
That's a wrap.
Just get ready for that every day. Oh. They are going to come after him.
New
he
York
just
media.
Sounds very uncomfortable. And the right questions. I don't have a problem with it.
No.
But you're going to you already said overpaid already about Le'Veon Bell, which is how we know that's how he felt.
Yes.
There's no question he was one of the big reasons why McCagney is not there anymore, without a doubt.
There's something else in the middle there that he said, you know, you were looking to check a lot of boxes with the right candidate, but Chris Johnson's kind of looking for something a little different.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
What does that mean? How about somebody competent, which would be a change for the Jets organization? That's been really competent in about 8 or 9 years.
So June 1st without
what does
a GM.
That mean?
The New York Jets without a GM.
They got a GM. Well, it's going to be Gase. Yeah.
LeBron hater number two says, is
GM by committee.
Or does Adam Gase sound like Carl from Sling Blade? Yeah, a little bit.
It just seems uncomfortable to
me.
Very.
You know what is comfortable, Pete Shepard?
This chair?
I don't know if that chair is comfortable for you
very
or not.
Very comfortable. I can't get up. But
The Steelers wide receiver room, according to Juju. Now, why would that be?
Antonio Brown is not there anymore?
Yes. Yes. He said everything's fine. Everybody's on we got chemistry.
Yeah,
is on
him.
Point. Everybody's good.
I heard him this morning on TV. He was.
We got Ben Roethlisberger doing apology tours to the media for how he was. It is all good for the Steelers now without Antonio Brown in the hizzy.
Everyone communicating. There's really no, how do you say, drama in our locker room.
Actually, that's going to be nice for them. Now, I don't know if that's going to translate into wins, but that team's got to be tired of the drama.
And who's going to have a nervous breakdown first?
Tomlin?
Carr?
Oh.
Creepy Mark Davis? Gruden?
Hmm?
Who else is over there? I mean,
Carr, by the way, said he was perturbed by all the trade talk. He says, I'm going to be a Raider for a long time.
No, you're not. He might get dealt in the offseason. He might get dealt in a trading deadline for all
we know. Well, it depends how he does this year.
Yeah.
This is a big year for him. Otherwise, I think he could be there for a long time. But maybe not. Vegas, baby! Don't trade me before we go to Vegas! That'd be very disappointing to him. Landon Collins speaking. He said that the Giants general manager lied to everybody about the Odell Beckham trade. And then, of course, Landon Collins ends up with the Washington Redskins. Yeah, he said, Dave
Lies!
He reiterated, remember, everybody, when he said, we didn't sign Odell Beckham to a big contract just to trade him. He said it was he didn't allow for the fact that maybe situations change, maybe somebody changed their mind. No, it was a bold-faced lie, he says. How about that? It was on NFL Network's Good Morning Football.
Unbelievable.
It is.
Who has more? I mean, it is going to be. It could be the Jets should be better than the Giants this year. There's no doubt.
They should be better. But they could both end up 5-11 or something ridiculous like that, right? I mean, that wouldn't be a shock to anybody. Man, bring it on.
I just think, you know, it's going to be – I think it's really important. I mean, the Giants, I'm not expecting anything out of them at all, but I think it's important. And the Jets – and the Jets play Cleveland right away. That's going to be a big game, right? That's early in the season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Let me look at it. But that's early.
Baker versus Sam.
That's a huge game for both teams just from a confidence level. Because if either one of those teams starts to stubs its toe early, we're going to find out real quick what it's all about. As I've said many times, as you know, it's about you find out what a team's chemistry is like or character when things are going bad.
Yep.
Not when they're good. It's when things aren't going their way. So they open up against – the Jets open up home against the Bills and home against the Browns on Monday Night Football.
So
and then they play at the Patriots. Listen to this. Home versus the Bills.
Yeah.
Home versus the Browns, at the Patriots, at the Eagles.
That could be 0-4.
That could be 0-4. Then they're home against the Cowboys. That could be 0-5. Then they're home against the Patriots.
0-6.
And then at the Jaguars. 0-7.
Could be.
At Miami. Who knows?
That could be a win.
And then they have to play. They're hosting the Giants. But do you realize that? Look at that Jets schedule. I mean, think about
that. That's pretty tough.
Bill's not sure what's going to happen. They lost their starting tight end, but they're going to be, you know, you just don't know. Bills, Browns, at Patriots, at Eagles, home against Cowboys, home against Patriots, at Jaguars. That has 2-5 or 1-6 written all over it for me.
I agree with
all
you.
All over it.
I can't argue. I am curious, though, when you say you find out about your true character when things go bad, so we don't know about the Patriots' character, do we? Because it just never goes bad.
No, well, no.
Unless you count those 2-2 Septembers that you occasionally have.
Well, no, but there were – look, I bring this one up all the time. It's look, 2009, they just could not get it together. It just – you saw Bill Belichick on the show, on a football day. He's like, I just – talking to Tom, getting blown out by New Orleans. He's just going, I cannot get this team to play the right way. And it's like you take – it was real simple. They took away Welker, and you took away Randy Moss, and they had nothing. Tried a lot of different things, and they got blown out by Baltimore playoff. But anyway, but all teams go through that at times. But that was one time that I've seen the 49ers go through it at times. The Steelers go through it. The Chiefs are going to be another intriguing team this year as well. Because there are those that think they're going to take a step back too.
Well, if they could keep their players out of you know, jail or suspension or whatever. I mean, they lose Kareem Hunt. They lose Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. A year ago, if you would have said, hey, Patrick Mahomes is going to do great. He's got some great weapons. He's got Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt. Right? And we did say that.
Yeah.
Both of those guys are, well, I mean, one's gone and the other one doesn't look like he's going to be playing ever again either.
Yep.
I mean, that's big.
Mm-hmm. And you look at the Cleveland Browns schedule just real quick. I mean, they're home against Tennessee, and I don't know. I don't think that's going to be
I'm
a cakewalk.
I'm going to say possible win there. All
probably
right,
possible
this.
Win. Then they're at the Jets. And
they should win.
Well, I don't know.
If the Jets are going to start out 0-6, then I have to give them the win.
Well, yeah. I would give Cleveland the win, but it's so tough. Then they're home against the Rams, defending NFC
champs.
That's
a loss. Now they're 2-1.
Now they're at Baltimore. That's a tough game.
It is.
And then they have to travel across the country to play on Monday Night Football the very next week at San Francisco. I don't know what they're going to
be
all about.
That could be a very tough game.
Nick Bosa might be out of not be playing that by
then. Yeah, but Jimmy G is going to be rolling around.
You don't know what he's all about. And then they're home against Seattle. That's another tough game.
All right, that's got 3-3 written all over.
Then they're at the Patriots. Right. And then they're at the Broncos after that.
4-3. Okay, they're 4-4. They're 4-4.
And then they're home against the Bills.
They win that
and
one.
And the home against the Steelers.
5-4.
They get 3 in a row here. And then home against the Dolphins.
They're going to be 500.
That three-game stretch right there from November 10th through November 24th could be their whole season right there where they make or break them.
Because
then they're home against the Bengals. Then they're at Arizona, home against the Ravens, and they finish at the Bengals.
Hmm. I love it. I could do this all day.
Yeah.
We are...
That's fascinating. I mean,
it is.
Now that we're, like, you know, we're past all the draft and everything, you start looking at it. I think the Jets could start 2-5 or 1-6.
They could. They could.
Easily.
All right. Coming up, Tiger Woods is playing again. We'll tell you when. Mike Bray said something at Notre Dame that really chapped my hide. I'm going to get into that.
Yeah.
We'll run down some of South Florida versus Central Florida's scheduling as well.
Yeah.
Talk some college football. And when we come back, since Rick is from Minnesota, I'm going to ask you about a Division III school up there, St. Thomas. This is a fascinating story. All that coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. You know, when this video came out, I did like it. lead singer. She had a good look to her.
They're a good rock band. They really are.
Yeah?
The Bangles.
Are they still around?
Yeah, they are. I thought she was going to go solo.
Susanna Hoff. She did for a while.
Yeah.
But the original band's back together.
She was cute.
Yeah. She was a looker back in the day. No doubt about that.
Former Bucks defensive tackle Gerald McCoy has the Browns and the Ravens on his short list of teams. He's intrigued.
Really?
That's per Mary Kay Cabot, who we both know. Bengals also have interest, according to Mary Kay. While nothing is set up, he's likely to make a visit to Cleveland soon.
Before he was cut, it was Cleveland that kept calling and asking about a trade. And the only reason a deal didn't get done is because they figured he was going to be cut at some point, and they didn't have to pay the $13 million for him, even though they're one team that could afford him. They are well under the salary cap. But, hey, why pay 13 when you can get him for 10? See, and Mary Kay Cabot is one of the best, so you can take what she says to the bank, too. I know Cleveland's pursuing him for sure. All right, you touched on this at the beginning of our show. I want to spend a little more time on it. I want to talk some college football. There's a little bit of college football news out there as well. But South Florida, who we mentioned last week, signed a three-game series with Miami. The Miami Hurricane. Now, keep in mind.
Starts in 2025, also in South Florida.
Now, South Florida's in the same conference as Central Florida, the mythical national champs. And Danny White, the athletic director, will not do three-game deals where you play two-for-one, basically.
Yeah.
He won't do it. He says, we're too big time.
We're
not going to do it.
Field.
We want to play the Florida Gators. We want to do a home-and-home. Gators offered a 2-1, but the one was it a neutral side or still, whatever.
Regardless, it wouldn't have been a home. It's ridiculous.
So while they're sitting there, goofing off and thinking that they're bigger than they are, South Florida, right down I-4 in the same conference, in the last week have signed a three-game series, including a home game with the Miami Hurricanes. And now, Pete Shepard, they have done a three-game series with
Alabama. Starting
Alabama! Yep.
And the first game is not going to be in Tuscaloosa, Central Florida. Get this. But God, Nick Saban, God bless him, said, we'll come to Tampa first. We don't have to have it at our place first. We'll come to Tampa and play you. So Alabama's going to come to Tampa September 16th, 2023. And then USF, the Bulls, return the favor on September 7th of 2024 and September 12th of 2026. They will play in Tuscaloosa. But that, UCF, is how you build a program and helps with recruiting.
I just had an epiphany, Pete.
Oh, an apostrophe?
An epiphany.
Okay.
I know why Nick Saban did this. He's sticking it to Central Florida because Central Florida tried to claim the national championship the year that Alabama won it, and he had to answer a lot of questions about it at the press conferences. And so he's, you know what? Screw you, Central Florida. I'm going to go sign a three-game deal with South Florida. Take that. I guarantee you he did it out of spite.
I'm like Sam Kinison with Rodney Dangerfield in Back to School. I like the way you think.
Yes.
Yes. I love that.
Absolutely.
I know what? Craig, that is a great theory.
Yes. Thank you.
And also for the love of the game.
Of course.
But I do like the way you think. I love that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Well, that's great. That game, I don't care how good you were, that game will sell out. And I'm assuming that's going to be at Raymond James, right? They're going to play. Yeah.
Yes. That'd be fantastic.
That'll be sold out. That'll be great. That is one game that I will absolutely attend. And you can see it's things like this. Now you got kids who may be, and don't start with academics, but may be looking at, look who USF has got coming up.
Yeah.
Look who UCF has coming up.
Miami and Alabama.
Miami and Alabama in the future out of conference. All right. UCF this year is what, Stanford and I forget who else.
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Not bad. Not bad. Mack Brown returning. So that'll be some excitement, a little bit. But, UCF won't even schedule FGCU in basketball, Kentucky, Tim said. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I said, I know I'm being redundant. I've said it a million times. UCF is in no position to turn down anybody. And I don't care if it was Arkansas that came a call and said, we'll play two at our place. You got to take the deal.
I agree.
You are not in a position, UCF, to turn down anything like those type of deals within the Power Five conference. You're just not. And I give USF all the credit in the world. And again, their vice president of athletics, Michael Kelly, had a real cool statement to say that we, this is USF and the end of it. We now have 15 games scheduled versus SEC and ACC opponents in the next 10 years.
Nice.
And I think our fans are really excited to see those teams come to Tampa, as well as the opportunity to travel and cheer on the Bulls in those destinations. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, can UCF say the same thing?
No.
Do they have 15 games scheduled versus the SEC and the ACC over the next 10 years?
No.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't think so. Wow.
And if they don't think that USF can steal recruits from them from this schedule, then they're nuts. Because you can.
I absolutely
I get
can.
To play Alabama at Raymond James.
In an NFL stadium.
In an NFL stadium.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Who are you playing?
Nobody.
North Carolina, Stanford, Georgia Tech?
Mac Brown on his retirement gig. That's who you're playing. Day Late and Dollar Shorts, is that the same Danny White, the ex-Cowboy quarterback?
No, it's not.
Different
it's not.
Guy. Different guy.
No, different man.
Nope. And one other scheduling note from the U, as we mentioned, they're going to be part of playing three games against South Florida. Also, they picked up another tilt against Southern Miss. And that will be, it's just a one game deal.
Yeah, Southern Miss is playing
Hard
Rock Alabama.
In 2022.
Yeah, that's okay. That's still better than, you know, your Citadel team. Alabama is also playing Southern Miss this year. Alabama has the easiest schedule right now in the SEC.
You ran it down the other day. They did the easiest, top, number one, or number last, however you want to look at it. Mm-hmm. All right, Rick, you are from Minnesota, so are you?
I am.
Are you familiar with
Duluth.
Division III powerhouse St. Thomas
in the football? Tommies?
Seriously? All right. All right.
Yes, I am.
Well, apparently,
kind of college football legend in Minnesota. Really?
Really?
Mm-hmm. They are powerhouse in how many sports?
Well, mostly just football,
yeah.
But Division III football.
The MIAC.
Yep. The Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, the MIAC, the other mm-hmm. MIAC.
MIAC. MIAC.
The league is kicking them out. Not because they're horrible, not because they don't make money, not because their academics stink. They are kicking them out because they're too good.
Yes, they are. Heads and shoulders above everybody in that division.
Too bad. Under Coach Glenn Caruso, St. Thomas has won six MIAC football titles since 2010. Wow. The Tommies, whatever that mascot is, also reached the national title game in 2012 and 2015. The entire athletic program has enjoyed success in recent years. St. Thomas finished 10th nationally in the Learfield Director's Cup standings for Division III schools, a measurement of an athletic program's overall success. So 10th overall. Per school official, St. Thomas was told the league would be disbanded if the school remained a member. Is this not a lawsuit ready to happen here?
I don't know.
Here's what the league said. After extensive membership discussions, the University of St. Thomas will be involuntarily removed from membership in the Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. The MIAC President's Council cites athletic competitive parity in the conference as a primary concern. St. Thomas will begin a multi-year transition immediately and meanwhile is eligible to compete as a full member of the MIAC through the end of spring 2021. Supporters of St. Thomas, however, publicly and privately have said they believe they're being punished for winning at a high level. The school spends $1.1 million on football each year per U.S. Department of Education data, and its 6,000-plus enrollment trumps the enrollment of the other programs in the private school league. Tough.
I know, tough, exactly. That's
who
cares? Tough.
There's just not enough schools of that size, really, to put together a competitive division.
So, right. And then, prior to Caruso's arrival in 2008, St. Thomas hadn't won the MIAC title since 1990. And St. John's, and I remember St. John's was a powerhouse. I can't remember, but they were always a powerhouse in Division III. And at first, I remember when I was a kid, I said, St. John's in New York? And it's St. John's here. St. John's president, Julie Sullivan, said in a statement, however, the presidents came to a consensus that the conference itself would cease to exist in its current form if St. Thomas remained. What a bunch of weenies.
Yeah.
This is like the AFC East.
How did they let this happen?
This is the AFC East kicking out the Patriots because they're too good.
No, but can you imagine this in any other conference in the country, any other sport?
You're supposed
to
win.
How is this legally being allowed?
This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to win games.
Make yourself better.
Now, I'm curious.
I swear, this is so ridiculous.
Rick, with St. Thomas and St. John, is this like a Catholic league by any chance?
It is, actually. Yeah, they're Catholic schools.
Okay.
But, well, that's what I'm saying. There's just, I don't think there's enough. I don't know how they're going to replace them or where St. Thomas would go. There's just not enough schools
they
of that size.
They should upgrade to 1AA FCS.
Well, Wings Up says put St. Thomas in the Pac-10.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
They could probably compete.
They could.
But how is this not a lawsuit ready to happen? How do you justify this? And again, the consensus of the whole athletic program is ranked 10th. And they haven't won it every year. They reached a national title game in 2012 and 2015. They've won 6 MIAC football titles since 2010. It's 2019. Okay, so what? What kind of message do you send to other young adults?
Here's the message you send in Tall Sock Guy.
Participation trophy. Married one year. You're absolutely right.
No, Tall Sock Guy said it perfectly. He says, interesting message. If you can't beat them, expel them. It's unbelievable. Seven,
nobody would get kicked out of the Pac-12 because none of them are powerhouses.
Fact.
Yeah, true. I don't know how you get away with this. Well, where's creepy Mark Emmert? Where is he?
Well, is he in charge of Division III?
He's in charge of the NCAA, period. Okay.
Right. I don't think they're technically part of the NCAA, though. I think they're part of what's called the NAIA.
Yeah, oh, the MIAC. Yeah.
The lower,
right.
lower division.
You're right. You're right.
Good one, Rick.
You're right.
Yeah.
Sullivan called the league's decision extremely disappointing in their statement, but vowed to find a new conference for the school, which has created a committee to help do so. I don't know
That'll
how you
be
legally
tough to do. I don't know how they're going to find a new conference.
Is there some committee? Is there some conference bylaw that says if you win too much, you'll be expelled?
Or you would think they would be a voting partner in the conference? I would assume.
Yeah. Well, they only get one vote out of 10.
Maybe they're. And don't you think a school like that brings more? I don't know. Presence.
Yeah.
To the conference?
Oh, it really does because, like I said, St. Thomas is kind of a historical school. You know, mm-hmm. it's just a football program's been around since the beginning of time and well known there.
How big's the stadium?
It's not big.
Like a little 15,000 deal?
Yeah, not even that.
Not even that?
Yeah. Not even that.
It's Division III.
Well, I know. I'm just curious.
No, I know, but it's just, I find this shocking. I really do. I guess I shouldn't in this day and age, but how is it allowed?
1993 says they once beat someone 96-0. Is that true?
That sounds about right.
Really? That didn't happen,
Good.
Well, stop them from scoring 100.
Let me ask you this. Let me change the narrative here just a little bit.
Let me look at
the scores. Do they win most of their games like 75-3?
Let me look it up.
I don't care. They have at times. They have at various times been that good.
Okay.
Yep. They're one of those schools that you hear about that in like high school, even down here. You know, people complain about Naples High School.
Right.
You know, Naples High School beat Estero 93-0.
Oh, by the way, I'm glad you brought that up. Congratulations to Devin Moore, Naples defensive back. He's off to Michigan.
Nice. And now he'll have today. Jim Harbaugh there all 5 years. Fact.
Somebody texted in, so they're too good for Alabama to schedule.
Well, all right, here's the scores from last year.
Are they blowouts?
Let's see. This is last year, September. Trinity International, they won 76-7.
Yikes.
Is it Hamlin or Hamline? Hamlin.
Hamlin.
Hamlin Pipers. They won 62-0.
Okay, I see a pattern here.
What's UW?
Eau Claire.
Eau Claire, but what's UW?
University of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, okay. Just making sure.
That's Wisconsin Eau Claire.
Yeah, Eau Claire, 49-0. Concordia Moorhead. Like Moorhead State, is that where's that?
Same city, Moorhead, Minnesota.
No, Minnesota. Okay, 46-7.
You're halfway through the schedule. They've given up 14 points.
Augsburg,
yeah.
Where's that?
That's in Minneapolis.
73-14.
Okay.
Hang on, hold on. At St. John's, lost. Last year they lost.
Oh, they got beat
40-20.
All right. Why don't we kick St. John's out of
Hang on. Then the Knights of Carlton. Is it Carlton?
That one I'm
Carlton,
not familiar
Carlton?
With. Carlton.
Carlton Knights. 68-0. The next week, on the 27th of October, St. Olaf.
Mm-hmm.
60-0. Then they had two battles in November.
I'm starting to change my mind.
No. You can't. Gustavus Adolphus.
Yeah,
Gustavus Adolphus.
Adolphus.
Another saint.
A squeaker, 14-13.
Oh!
And then Bethel. Where's Bethel? Also Minneapolis.
I'm not sure.
Bethel was another squeaker. Not only was a squeaker, they lost.
So they lost two games.
They lost two games.
I'm torn. So they had four competitive games, and then the rest of them they won by an average score of 70-7.
I'm not sure if all of those were conference games.
Yeah, oh, no, here it is. I got it right here. Okay. Overall, last year, St. Thomas Tommy's football overall 8-2, conference 6-2.
So okay,
lots of the conference.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
All right, if they can't,
they were
six.
They were
teams
six
can't and compete with them.
I'm waffling back and forth so much. I'm getting whiplash over here.
They're 6-0 at home, 2-2 on the road. Neutral site, no record. They average 463.8 yards per game, 266.4 on the ground. Only 197.4 through the year. They average 48.3 points per game. The yards allowed per game was 207.2. 31. They barely allowed 31.8. yards per game on the ground, and through the year, 175.4, and points allowed per game was 10.2. Hmm. So they average scoring 48.3 and 10.2. So it's
48-10 every game.
48-10.
The league wants to kick them out for being too good.
So that's not right, Boomer says. Great school. My father played quarterback there, but then
Boomer's
again,
quarterback play there?
Wow, is that true? Bethel is in Kansas, according to Wig. Okay.
Wow.
Let me just see. Let's see who Bethel beat. See this, this.
I did not think I'd be talking about Bethel football when I came to work today.
No, I can't.
Didn't see that one coming.
But regardless, this is an outrage.
No, I'm torn.
That's no. What message are you sending?
I don't know, but 70-7. I don't want to see that every week.
But you didn't.
I know they should have won those other games.
And they won a squeaker too. They won.
All right.
Oh, man.
Let me simmer on that for a few days. But like Rick said, where are they going to go? You just can't kick a school out for being good all of a sudden.
See how much the tickets are.
Yeah, I mean, really, like the next level up, they would not really be prepared
they
for
couldn't
that
play
level.
FCS
no,
one
no.
They couldn't hang with the Citadel.
They could play in like where Minnesota Duluth plays, you know.
They play at Alliance Field
in
St. Paul. First game is – the first game this year is is that true? It's against St. John's October. No, it's going to be before October.
Season
19th.
Opener. All right, we're late.
Got anything else? The tickets are. If you want to go? $59. Upper level.
59.
That's upper level.
Upper
59?
Level. There's high.
That is a little steep.
There's high as 170.
Holy cow!
In row 10,
for Division 3.
Yeah, $170 in row 10. That's a nice stadium.
Wings Up said Clemson hung 70 on FSU and went undefeated. You going to kick them out of the ACC too?
Great point.
That's a fantastic point, Wings Up.
How many times Oklahoma won by 97 points?
Quite a bit. All right, coming up, we'll tell you about Tiger's golf schedule. And Mike Bray, the head coach at Notre Dame, said something that is really grinding my gears. I'm going to get to this. Stay tuned. Plus, 1 hour from now, it is Wikipedia. Today, we're doing reality TV. So all that to coming up in an hour. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. This is a little Floyd. Unplugged almost? Oh, there we go. There we go. Sounds like a different riff. Very nice. Tiger Woods is going to play in the Memorial. It says no more extended delay again. As you know, he went from the Masters win right to the PGA Championship 5 weeks later and did not do so good, as they say. So he's going to play in Jack Nicklaus's tournament, the Memorial, trying to get ready for the U.S. Open, which is at Pebble Beach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where he once won by 15 shots. Let's see if he and Koepka can pull away from the field. I don't know. Do you feel like Tiger just, he got his one win in the Masters and that'll kind of be it? Or do you think he'll be competitive again?
I don't know, Craig. It's hard to put a finger on it. I mean, everybody wants him to be. No, I think he'll be competitive again.
Yeah.
Can he win another major? I don't know. No one ever thought he'd win the match. No one ever thought he'd win another one. I mean, he defied all the odds.
Yeah. Well, I think it's the right move getting some action in before that, because the minute I heard he wasn't going to play at all after the Masters into the PGA Championship, I thought there's no way. There's no way he's going to be sharp. And he wasn't.
And this is one tournament I thought he's won it five times.
Yeah.
And I love this course, too. I loved it on Tiger Woods Golf back in the day on Xbox.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, great. I always did well on it. Jack Nicklaus course, but he's won it five times.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, as you said, it's a couple weeks before the U.S. Open. He was tied for 23rd last year. I'll bet you he beats that this year.
Yeah.
I'm not saying win it, but I bet he's better than 23rd this year.
And then Brooks Koepka is just remarkable. Don't forget, it was Brooks Koepka that was one stroke off at the Masters.
Yes.
And then went on to win the PGA Championship for the second year in a row. And, I mean, that dude's on fire.
Yeah.
He's kind of like what Tiger used to, I mean, he grew up watching Tiger. Then he became Tiger. He's the most dominating golfer on the tour right now.
And here's the thing. Now, what about Tiger physically? He spent earlier this week, he was in Florida.
Yep.
Practicing.
Yeah.
He had a fundraising event for his foundation. It includes a golf link this weekend in Vegas. So he's going to fly all the way over there.
Vegas, baby. In a private jet.
Yeah. In 16 appearances at the Memorial, Tiger has 8 top 10 finishes, with the last of his 5 victories coming in 2012. He's never missed the cut, but during the throes of his back issue in 2015, he shot a third round 85, his highest score as a pro. Mm. I remember that. That was a horrible. That was when, didn't he go down to one knee?
I think that was it. 813 says, it's not fair that we're doing reality TV next hour for Wikipedia because all Pete does is watch TV. It doesn't seem very fair.
I mean, reality TV, though, I'm trying to think. I don't know. Depend. Reality TV. I don't watch a lot of reality TV, I'll be honest with you. Unless it's old school stuff, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
All right, well, maybe. Yeah. Now, I will say this. I'm going to put out an APB here for an announcement to our audience. Going to be now known as the Mario rule. Mario was caller number 9 yesterday and knew nothing about the topic, and it didn't make for a very good game show. Now, Mario's a listener.
I won.
Glad to have him. You did win. The reason I give the topics out is so that if that's in your wheelhouse, you're welcome to call. If you know nothing about the topic we're playing for prizes for, don't call. Don't call. Save it for another day. All right, we're here every day. We do 250 shows a year.
No more big hints like yesterday, and I probably tried to give it away.
Yeah, exactly. So, make sure you know something about the topic before you dial in and be calling number 9 next hour. That's like our new, that's my new advice.
Mm-hmm.
Or I may have to embarrass you on the air. All right, so we're out of time, as usual. When we come back, I'm going to get into this Mike Bray thing. He is really bothering me. He said something that I don't think a coach has a right to say. I'm going to get into that. I'm going to tell you what that's all about. We'll talk about tonight's NBA game a little bit. Kevin Durant.
Craig is getting upset.
Craig's getting angry. All that coming up. Stay with us. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.